I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
All right, y'all. Welcome back here to Shed Talk. Like I told y'all, I always like to have good interviews with people who do different types of careers. And here's another treat. I had the opportunity to be able to bring on somebody to give us a little bit behind the scene exactly what they do from a day-to-day basis in the line of work that they do. With no further ado, my guest here is today, his name is Parker. Welcome, Parker. How you doing today?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Doing pretty good. Yeah, man. Like I said, can you kind of tell me exactly what is it that you do? Like, I know you do all kinds of variable stuff, but what do you do? Like the main thing?
It's mainly marine contracting. So we build docks, floats, piers. We do mooring work, deliver stuff out to islands. Somebody loses stuff overboard, you know, I'll dive on that. I'll dive and retrieve stuff or lost moorings. Kind of, you know, anything that's on the coastline that has to do with the water, we like to get our fingers into it.
That's nice. Yeah. Nice. So what is the deepest that you ever had to dive down to?
So in my line of work of doing moorings and stuff like that, typically, you know, we're talking, you know, not too deep, 20 feet sometimes, but then, you know, some of our moorings will go down to like 60 feet. So that's typically, you know, my average dives. For myself, I've only really dove down like to 80 feet, which is, you know, where I'm pretty well at my stage and all that. But I want to advance myself actually a lot further in a lot of the stuff that I do for my own diving.
How long have you been doing this for?
About 5 years now, 6 years.
Yeah, it's fair to say that you enjoy doing it, right?
I love doing it. Once I started, it was an addiction, honestly. Like, you start doing it, and you're like, oh, this is peaceful, relaxing, and you get to see so much stuff.
That's
sometimes
fine.
You don't see anything for me, but...
that's my next question for you. What is some unexpected things that you have found underwater that you can tell us about?
I had like a, I guess it was like a sand shark or something one time, probably about 6 feet kind of. And my visibility is only probably 5 feet. So
right. It
came and it was about 2 feet underneath me when it came, you know, just zipping through. And whoa, that jumped me for a second. So
was it more scared of you than you are of it? Or?
Yeah, I don't think it had anything to just, I think it was just going through the area. And I mean, like I said, like, I mean, my visibility is about 5 feet where I was. So by the time I saw it and it was already gone, I'm like, oh, that was quick.
Yeah, that was real quick. I'm glad that came and went past there.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this question. How do you stay safe whenever you're going down there? Is it like a routine that you go through to get prepared?
So I always have somebody up on the surface, like tending me. We got our dive flag up and all that. So any boats in the area know that there's a diver down. And then it's just, you know, making sure I got all my gear that I got. If it's a lost mooring, depending on the area, you know, I'll bring a safety line down and they'll drop an anchor down. I'll safety line off that and I'll start doing some like big circles around, you know, and I'll let myself out on the rope, you know, like another 5 feet and then expand my circle and then keep doing that, you know, so I don't lose where I'm at and get sucked out to the current or whatever's going on at the time.
Within your time frame of doing this line of work, what have been one of the biggest challenges that you had to deal with so far?
sometimes I guess it's just like dealing with some of the other, you know, other people, you know, might drop something like a new mooring, or like, for instance, we had to go deal with a mooring this morning, and
right. It
was all chain wrapped around chain. So it was going straight up, and then the chain was also wrapped around the mooring that way. So I was down underneath using my feet, pulling on the chain and spinning the mooring block with my feet while I'm pulling the chain so I could get it unwrapped around, and then that block lifted and moved out of the way.
Yeah. So, Parker, for our viewers and listeners right now, the kind of terminology that you're explaining, I don't think a lot of people know. So in layman's terms, what is that? You said a mooring? Is that what it's called?
Mooring. Yeah. All right. So this one was probably like a 2,000-pound granite block. Okay. And what that has a, like a hole drilled through it with a 1¼-inch piece of steel rod that's bent in a circle on the top, okay, and then bent down on around the side. Then you have a big shackle hooked onto that, and you have, you know, depending on where you're at, you know, 10 feet of some big heavy duty ground chain going on. And then you have, you know, either some lighter duty chain that goes straight up to the surface, or some rope, depending on how people want it, you know, rigged up. You know, you got a swivel and some shackles and stuff so it can spin freely at the top. And boat goes and your boat hooks onto that so it doesn't drift around everywhere.
Okay. Yeah, I'm pulling up some of that stuff right there. Is that kind of like a splitter on like a fishing? Like it has like a swivel that keeps it from flowing like consistently, something like that.
Yeah, because like you got the incoming tide and the outgoing tide, you know, and so, you know, the boat will spin that way, you know, and then when the wind's going at the same time, sometimes it might get some extra spins in there. And if it's all just chain going all the way to the bottom or rope, then it will like the rope will popcorn and kind of like open up and untwist, which isn't any good. And the chain will also just twist up, which will pull down your scope.
Okay. So let me ask you this question. Whenever you're down there, each dive that you do you have to prepare your equipment differently on the surface? Like, is there certain gear that you have to have when you're doing this, certain gear for when you're doing that? Is it all the same?
Yeah. Well, sometimes I might bring down like extra gear. Like I might need to bring like a little chisel down or something to clean some stuff off, or my wrenches and stuff like that, you know. So it's just a matter of knowing what job I'm after. If I'm searching for something, I have a metal detector that I bring down. So if I, you know, the mooring block, you know, like I said, it has chain on it, so if it's a lost mooring, my metal detector will hit on the mooring chain, and then I'm like, okay, I found this, and then I can work my way back to a block. Sometimes a block will be in the mud and that thing's down, you know, a foot and a half, so you can't even see, you know, the block anymore.
Right. It's like buried. Like,
right. Yeah, buried into the mud.
Now, I mean, I know you're probably using some state-of-the-art equipment. Do you take different types of cameras down there? I mean, is there certain stuff that you're like, this is the best equipment that I have used so far?
So I got like a small Kodiak camera that just kind of picked up recently to make up for, my GoPro, because I got a Series 8, but it's got the overheating problem going on. So, yeah, I had to pick that other one up, and then I plan on upgrading again here coming up, but something to get me through.
Yeah, that's pretty decent there, man. GoPros, I mean, people use that even when they go outdoors for hunting, hiking, all type of things, and you just got to keep upgrading as it's needed. I can get that. So whenever you're doing this kind of work, are you underwater majority of the time solo, or are you down there with a team? How does that go?
I'm always down there alone. So pretty much I always have somebody up on the surface and I'm just down there. And sometimes I'll have them like run me a rope down, and they can, you know, they can put a shackle on that rope or whatever else, and they can let go and it will send down whatever I need for tools or equipment.
Yeah, that sounds pretty dope, man. I can't go wrong with that kind of stuff right there. You're kind of, I want to say, like, kind of like your own boss. You're down there, you ain't got somebody nagging in your ear, you know what I mean? Just, you're doing your own thing down there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, you get down there sometimes and you almost forget that you're down there. It's just so relaxing.
Right. That is pretty cool down there. Now, let me ask you this question. Has there been any type of special jobs or locations that you enjoy going to? every time they call you, you're like, yes, I enjoy going to that place.
Oh, yeah, oh, definitely. I mean, I do a lot of my work on the Kennebec River, too. And every time, you get like 20 minutes of dive time sometimes in that river because it just rips so hard both ways. Right. You get like almost 70% of the state, you know, flowing down through that. So, you know, all the groundwater, everything goes in there. So it's always murky and dirty. You can never see very well. So pretty much any time I'm getting out of there, I'm like, all right, now I can see, like, I mean, I can see 5 feet. And then I go to some other places where I'm like, seeing, you know, 15, 20 feet. I'm like, oh, yeah. So I get pretty excited about that.
Right, right. You go down there from, like, you're like looking around, like, okay, they said it's here. GPS says it's right here. And then you get down and you're like, I can't even see 5 feet of farming from in front of my eyes. And then whenever you got a little bit more visibility, you're like, okay, now it's open doors. Yeah, I can get that, okay, man. Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it's so bad. I mean, it's like reading Braille. I mean, there was an instance I had to undo a shackle and I was turning it. I was thinking I was actually like pulling the shackle out. Somehow I was threading it free the other way. And so there was like part of a tap stuck inside the shackle. I'm trying to get the chain off. And I finally got it up on the surface. And I was like, oh, no wonder it wasn't freeing so easily.
Yeah, that's the man. That's something else there. Now, let me ask you this question right here. As far as in what you do and the line of work that you do, what actually drawn you to this? Like, you know what I mean? There's a lot of different jobs available out there. What made you be like, I want to do that?
I mean, I was in the military, so I mean, I've done some travel. I know I've done quite a few different things, you know, through my life. Really, every time I'm on the water, I'm above me in my work. That's the thing that I love more than anything else. So I'm like, I'm going to do this.
Right.
Once I got into like, I got to incorporate this into my work, you know, do the things that you love in life, you know what I mean?
Right. Now, let me ask you this question. If anybody that is out there is interested in getting in this line of work, what advice can you give them before they decide to go down this path right there?
Really, just make sure that you enjoy breathing underwater. One of the biggest challenges is people think that they want to go diving. And mentally, their
brain doesn't like breathing underwater because it's not natural.
Really? Really? Explain that a little bit. What do you mean? Explain that, bro.
So I've known like a few people that when they almost like start doing like a mini panic, like when they get underwater because they're breathing underwater. Like mentally, you're like, I'm supposed to hold my breath underwater, not like be breathing.
Right.
So they kind of like, oh, I don't like it. It's like being claustrophobic almost, I guess.
Right. So they have to adjust to it and they have to kind of get comfortable sitting in the seat and realize like, hey, you're underwater. This is how it has to go. Huh.
Yeah. Just kind of like thinking about, you know, just kind of going with flow, relaxing and, you know, letting be, you know, but also don't do anything stupid, jump in some stupid deep water, you know, on your first time, not having any clue, you know, put yourself in a bad situation.
So let me ask you this other question. This is my question for you. Have you ever seen some really big fish down there that were unexpected besides that shark that came past? Have you ever seen something in the distance? Like, what in the world is that?
No, not yet, man. But I dove in what they call Mackerel Cove, which there was a shark attack in that a couple of years ago. You can look that up as well. Okay. So I dove in that area, you know, which the guys are like, hey, you know, don't forget there was a shark attack here. So I'm like, all right, you know, and then just over the 4th, you know, they'd lost somebody here in the Kennebec, you know, so just found that.
Are you a part of that retriever team at all? If there's somebody that, you know, is missing, have you ever been a part of something like that before?
So the company I'm with and everything, yeah, if something goes like that, usually we're alerted, you know, and we'll go, you know, assist in the search and everything like that.
Yeah.
You know,
I
it's our community. So
Right. I get you. So everybody's looking out. The village is going to help out as much as possible, and we'll do what we have to do. Have you ever been down there and like found a car and be like, oh my gosh, I wonder if they know this car is down there. Have you ever seen anything like that?
No, I mean, I've watched like a lot of those videos and stuff, you know, where they, okay, you know, people find stuff like that, but
right,
you know, nothing. I've never found anything like that. So yeah, I mean, right. I found a couple things, but nothing crazy like that.
Right. That's cool. So, you know, man, this is a great interview here, brother. You know, as far as in doing this kind of work right here, I mean, you only got a few years in it, so I guess you can say, quote unquote, getting your feet wet. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? Do you see yourself branching off, getting your own company, or just evolving within the company? Is there any type of long-term goals?
I already co-own the company with somebody, so... I mean, I do, you know what I mean? Like, I just see the company growing bigger on that. Really? And for my diving, like, I plan on, you know, going further on my certifications. One of my biggest goals is like the cave diving. That is like always something I want to go do. So I want to be able to get myself certified to go and do that stuff.
What about welding underwater? Is that something you want to do? Or are you able to do it at all?
Thought about it a few times, and right. I mean, maybe down the road, you know, I know how to weld a little bit, so it would be useful if it needs to be done.
Okay, yeah, that's cool, bro. That is definitely cool. Have you ever found like some like fishing poles down there and things like that, like kind of people's, I don't want to say trash, but things that fell overboard? Have you ever seen that stuff?
Oh.
Even though that's not what you're looking for.
I've found all kinds of stuff. I mean, I found like a gold ring. I found a gold bracelet. I found an anchor from like it's got to be like the 1700s. I got a video actually on the anchor in my thing. And then I found like a bunch of old bottles and stuff. I've come across, you know, stuff like that.
So is this any content that you're going to upload at all? Plan to upload for people to be able to see this kind of stuff?
Yeah, I do plan on expanding my page into, you know, a lot more of like my diving videos as well.
Okay, yeah, I definitely support that. So at the bottom of this recording right here on this podcast, I'll have Parker's link on there. So if anybody's interested to keep up with his content that he's going to be showing off and letting us go behind the scenes and down in the water, you'll be able to check it out on the bottom of this podcast. Hey, Parker, I really appreciate your time today to be able to sit down and tell us a little bit about diving and retrieving things from out of the water. Thank you so much, man.
Awesome. It was my pleasure to be here with you.
Thank you very much. And y'all, this is another show on podcast. I'll talk to y'all later.